fact that we need to meditate on the word and make sure that we have a clear conscience. We mean by a clear conscience making sure that you have confessed any known sins and that you've reached that point or you've directed your life in such a way that everything about you is to please the Lord. Now, in prayer, before we get into the kinds of prayer, you first of all must pray for yourself. You pray for yourself. On the plane, they give instructions on if the plane would lose power, that these oxygen masks will fall down from the ceiling here. And it says that before you give oxygen to anybody else, make sure, first of all, you take some oxygen. Because if you take in the oxygen, then you'll have the strength to minister to the other person that you're to minister to. But if you run out of oxygen, then while you're trying to help somebody else, you understand you're perishing, so both of you will lose out. So in this, as we think of prayer, let's think about the thing that we ought to do first and foremost. Number one, we're going to talk about the different kinds of praying. We're going to talk about the prayer of repentance. I believe that that's where we get our oxygen. That's where we pray the prayer of repentance. Cleansing, we talk about repentances. Cleansing, purging, has to do with deliverance. Leading, and what happens when we come to that place of repentance, and I'm giving an overview because later on we'll go more in depth or have one of the ministers go more in depth in each one of these because there's a whole lot to say about each one of them, but I'm just going to give an overview. When it talks about repentance, you understand this is cleansing. You're being purged. You're being delivered. Whatever may have attached itself to you, you're coming before the Lord empty and open so that God can do a work in your life. And what happens when we repent before the Lord, look at the benefit of repentance. It leads towards a hunger and a thirst towards God. Because how can we hunger and thirst for righteousness lest we've come to that place of embracing a standard of righteousness? Even when we have violated that standard, what happens, that's when repentance becomes even all the more important to us, is because what we're doing, we're saying, we ascribe to your standard regardless of what we might have practiced. And in this, Lord, we're asking the Lord to forgive us. And understand that is coming to a place of brokenness, contrition, contriteness of heart. And understand, we all must do that. Some people think that repentance is one-time thing, that once you repent, that's all you ever have to do. But let me tell you something. Repentance is ongoing because there's always things God will show you. He'll continue to show you things within your life that is in need of confessing and repenting of. Then we have the prayer of consecration and dedication, the prayer of commitment. Because after we have repented, and if we come before the Lord with an open heart before him, we pray and we dedicate our hearts and our lives to do his will, the prayer of commitment, and understand this is surrender all the more to him. Just to give you a few scriptures, Luke chapter 22, verse 41. Luke 22:41, he says, and he was drawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. He was saying that, Lord, he didn't say, take this cup from me, but he prefaced it by saying, if it's your will, because he was more concerned about the will of God being done than any kind of relief he could possibly receive for himself. So if your will, remove this cup or take this cup from me. But then he goes on and look at this dedication and consecration. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. It wasn't a long pause between that, but he was saying that it is your will. So now, regardless of whether the cup be removed or not, not my will, but your will be done. Then he said, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And we begin to see that it became more earnest because now he's pressing into the things of God because he says, I've committed my life. I've committed my all to you. And he pressed into the things of God so much so that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Another scripture helps us understand this particular kind of prayer, the prayer of consecration, dedication, is 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. It says here, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. He says, serve him with a loyal, be dedicated to him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. He says, for the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. He understands every thought of the heart, every thought that comes to mind. And then he says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So in this, we dedicate and consecrate ourselves before the Lord. This is what we're doing even during this time of prayer and fasting. And we're saying, Lord, we commit our hearts. We commit our lives. We surrender our wills. We put you above every other thing. So in that, we consecrate. We said, I was consecrated some years ago. No, now I'm coming before you again. Today, I consecrate myself for you, to you, and I dedicate myself to you. And then there's the prayer. You see, we talk about those. That has to do with you. Repentance, consecration, dedication. Now look what happens. Now you're positioned or postured to pray for others. Now you're going to pray for others. The prayer of intercession. Now when you talk about this prayer of intercession, there are many words that help us to understand that. It's a lighting upon. It has to do with, it talks about a conversation. It's a petition. And many other words that help us to understand. We would talk about interceding for others, but you're pleading with a person on behalf of another. This is all intercession. So understand, you're pleading to make a petition or intercede on behalf of another. This is what the scripture says concerning intercession, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. And it talks about, we'll start with Jesus Christ. We understand that Jesus Christ, who died for us, and he suffered for us and died for us. Now he has ascended into heaven. But now it says here in 7:24 of Hebrews, it says, but he talks about Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. He has an unchangeable priesthood. He is the go-between. This priestly ministry has to do with intercession as well. Because a priest stands before God for the people. They stand for the people before God. And that's intercession. So now we see Jesus Christ as our mediator. We see him as our intercessor to teach us what intercession is all about. It says, therefore, he is able, listen to this now, he's able to save to the uttermost, not just the surface things that need of being tweaked, but it says he is able to save to the uttermost. It is saying, to all of those areas of our lives, spirit, soul, and body, he is able to save to the uttermost to those who come to God through him. And then it says, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So as he sits on the right hand of the Father, he's there making intercession for us. So that even when we speak to God or we pray to the Lord and our prayers are so imperfect, understand our intercessor will interpret the meaning of our lives to the Father because of the fact that he has experienced what it means to be human by him coming in the flesh. So he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So he has full knowledge, experiential knowledge of humanity. But yet he is all God, and he stands, he sits on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Another scripture, I have several scriptures concerning intercession. Just to give you an idea, take a time, we'll just go through a few more. Here in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it says, so I sought for a man among them who will make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Understand, the Lord is saying, now you would look at this and say, well, why would the Lord destroy the land? The land would be destroyed because of its unrighteousness, because of unholiness. Anything that's unholy, anything that's unrighteous cannot stand the presence of the Lord. And understand, God despises those things that are, he despised that iniquity and evil and all of those things. So he says, so now he is saying, is there an intercessor? Is there one that will build a wall, make a wall and stand in the gap before me, understand, before the Lord on behalf of humanity, representing God to humanity, humanity to God, he says, for the land's sake, he said, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. If you go on, you'll begin to see where he himself and the person of Jesus Christ came and became my intercessor. Another scripture concerning intercession was in Numbers chapter 16. This is a beautiful passage of scripture, 16 verse 46. And we see Moses. It says here in verse 46, so Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire in it from the altar. Put incense on it and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them because they had sinned. For the wrath has gone out from the Lord. So as a result of that, the plague has begun. So now this plague was about to destroy all. But then he is saying, so Moses and Aaron said to Moses said to Aaron, take the censer. Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the assembly. And already the plague had begun among the people. So people were dying. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people. And listen to this now. And he stood between the dead and the living. The people that had died as a result of the plague and those that were yet alive, but now he stands with this censer between the dead and the living. He says, so the plague was stopped. He interceded on behalf of the people by taking that censer of incense. He says, now those who died in the plague were 14,700 beside those who died in Korah's rebellion, Korah's incident. So Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, for the plague had stopped. Now that's serious business. Intercession is not light stuff. It's very serious business when we engage in intercession. One last scripture concerning intercession. We're going to go deeper. In fact, we'll have teachers to take you deeper into these, but I'm giving an overview. Here in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, this is what he says concerning Christ interceding or the Spirit interceding for us. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Listen to this. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. And that's all of us. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for or ask for as we ought. He says, but the Spirit himself, listen to this, Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When it talks about the groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, there are inexpressible things that are coming forth out of us, but it's really the moving of the Spirit within us. And what is happening as a result of that, there's groanings on our part. He says, now, listen to this, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Because what he's doing, he is searching your heart in order to bring you to the place of alignment with the Holy Spirit. Because he makes intercession for the saints, not just on their behalf, but according to the will of God. So we get to the place of intercession, it is always according to the will of God. It is to bring us up to God's level. He came down to our level to bring us up to his level. Then there's a prayer petition, making a specific request. Because there comes a time when we would make specific requests before the Lord or to the Lord. Just to give you an idea, we begin to look at 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 37. It says here in 1 Kings 8, 37, when there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when the enemy besieged them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness is there, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, when each one knows the plague of his heart and spreads out his hands towards the people, towards the temple rather, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know. For you alone know the hearts of all the sons of man, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. So in this, we begin to see petitions made before the Lord, and understand God, knows the heart of each individual, but he also knows our heart. And sometimes it is what is being expressed is another person's heart rather than our hearts. You see, we see things happening around us and we say, well, this is where my heart is. But understand, the Lord is saying now, here's what the Holy Spirit will do. He will begin to direct us so that the Holy Spirit will express our hearts. We talked about the other prayer because they overlap to each other. We begin to see where this particular prayer is being made, and the Lord will give expression to our hearts so that the thing that He wills that we are able to see, we begin to call it out. God will give us the wisdom to actually speak directly to a particular matter. But understand this, but we must continue. If you go deeper into it, you'll realize the kind of spiritual warfare that we are in fact engaged in, because understand, there's spiritual resistance. And there's a ram, a heavenly ram, where there's spiritual resistance that's trying to stop the prayer so that we could never see or manifest the things that we're expressing, the things that's deeply within our hearts. But understand what he's saying here. He is saying they built the temple. He said, now, each time they pray towards this temple, then here in heaven, your dwelling place, let this prayer go beyond the ceiling. All the way from, you're praying towards the temple, but let it be heard in heaven, your dwelling place. And he says, and then let our hearts, the thing that's in our heart, come to pass, so that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. That's a very powerful prayer. And then if you go further down, in verse 54, this is still the dedication of the temple. He says, and so it was when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord that he rose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, bless the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he has promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that we may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. So understand that as this prayer, petition, directed towards the Lord is prayed, the people are one accord. And let me tell you how important this is. As we make our petitions, that's one of the reasons we begin to say, let's pray one particular thing. Let's pray this thing. Let's pray. There's a lot of things on your heart, I know, but we begin to move in a particular direction because as we pray and we begin to really supplicate or pray prayers of supplication, continue to push in, press in, understand, we're pushing against the resistance. We're pressing against the resistance so that now the blessings of God can come upon us. The Bible says here, there's so many other scriptures, and just go quickly through some of them. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. And then it says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will you give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? And understand, it is saying that we will give our children what they ask for. But listen to this. If it's best, it's for their best interest. But watch what it says here. If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, look what he puts in there. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now he brings in the Holy Spirit because we understand that the spiritual blessings of God will come to us as a result of the Holy Spirit. So there's a teaching, and we're going to get into that to understand why it's important for us to begin to ask God for his spirit to come upon us. And understand this. There are many things to ask for. You said, because now we talk about being spirit-led. and to be Spirit-led. We say, Lord, I want you to fill me with your Spirit. I want your Spirit to guide me. I want your Spirit to lead me and guide me in all truth. Because without it, I'm going to ask for stuff that I have no business asking for. Or I will ask not according to your will. Now it says here, now watch how this operates. We begin to see where in James chapter 5, 17, it speaks of Elijah. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly. He didn't just pray one time, but he prayed continuously, earnestly, that it would not rain. So he grabbed hold of that thing and kept praying it and praying and praying that it would not rain. And watch what happened. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Because he kept pressing in. This was God's will, but he was praying the will of God. And watch this. And then he prayed again. But he's a man just like us. I love he puts it this way, so you won't think that there's something magical about Elijah. He's a man just like us, nature just like ours. And he prayed again. And this time the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So understand this, we can petition the throne of God and God will cause things to happen that's phenomenal. The Bible helps us. Here's this other scripture in Luke chapter 18, verse 3. It says, now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, he said, though I do not fear God, this is unjust judge. I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. See, we're going to wear it out. We're going to wear this thing out. We're going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. We're not going to relent when it comes to prayer. Keep pressing and keep pressing. See, I want you to hear. Right now, I believe we're on the precipice of a breakthrough spiritually. But we got to be on the same page. And if we keep pressing on it and pressing on it and pressing on it, after a while, it's just like priming a pump. You know, I've seen those old pumps, and we didn't have one, but I've seen them, and we see the neighborhood where you begin to pump. And you're pumping, and nothing's happening. And then eventually you take some water, and you pour some water. Is that right? Some of you pour some water on the pump. And then if you keep pressing and pressing, and then eventually the water will begin to flow. But guess what? Once the water began to flow, it continues to flow. Every time you press it, there's water. Every time you press it. So understand this. The Lord is really helping us understand that there is something that we probably heard the saints of old talk about, breakthrough. And that's what we're talking about even among us. We want to reach that place of breakthrough so that we press and press and press and press. Now, who's in for the press? That's really the question. Who's in for the press? Who are those that would just come and kind of visit and, you know, they go about their daily activity? You see, you're not going to get anything from God if that's your attitude. Why? Because you're asking amiss. You're not really serious about asking. But if you get to the place, the Lord said, how bad do you want this thing? How desperate are you to see the Holy Spirit move among us and to see the power of God manifest among us? And understand, there are some things attached to that. You see, it's not just what we think. There are much more. There are many other things that God would do once His Spirit moves among us. Not just the things we've seen historically. But the Lord is going to do some stuff that you've never seen before. But understand, it will only happen when we begin to prime the pump. We're pressing and pressing and pressing. And say, Lord, I'm not going to let go of this thing until you bless me. And the Lord is saying, all the while I wanted to bless you, but I wanted you to want it. And until you wanted it, until you became so desperate that you wanted this thing, he said, you'll never see it. So then he goes on, the Lord says in verse 6, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall the Lord not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. It take a long time, it may appear. He said, but I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? People that really believe him, people that's really sold out to him. Now we speak of faith. That's also the prayer faith. It's attached to supplication. You don't divorce or divide faith from supplication. It is praying with confidence. Because even while all this is taking place and you're not seeing anything happening, still believe that it's going to happen. You see, don't think that it's, well, since I tried it and it didn't work, so apparently it doesn't work. But keep on trusting that it's we're closer than we've ever been. That's what drives us. Because let me tell you something. When you don't see, when we preach a message, I preach a message, but we don't see the results within a year, two or three or four, or five, 10 years, whatever, it's easy to say, well, that's it. Let me go on to something else. But the Lord say, you really did believe me. Had nothing to do with the people. Had everything to do with him. You really didn't believe me. I made a promise. And I'm going to perform that which I promised. So what do? You keep pressing in, pressing in, pressing in. Then eventually you begin to see the breakthrough. So that's really, we begin to see the prayer petition connected to the prayer faith. It's attached to praying with confidence. We know the scriptures, Mark chapter 11, verse 22. It says, so the Lord answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith directed in, our faith is in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he said will be done. Believe that those things he said will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore I say, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. But understand, you don't take this and isolate it from all the other prayers. But you understand how it works in conjunction with all the other things. So that now we're believing God to do his will among us. But we are part of that because we've entered in. Now, that's the prayer. And then in Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Luke 7, 1. It says, and when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built a synagogue. That's what he was saying. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, watch what this centurion did. Centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, he said, Lord, do not trouble yourself. Wait a minute. They went through all this trouble to get Jesus' attention, to get him to come to the house, and finally he finally agreed to come, and then the centurion soldier said, tell him, don't even trouble yourself. He says, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Now, there's an anointing on that. I'm not even worthy for you to enter under my roof. He said, therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. Didn't even think myself worthy to come to you. He says, but say the word. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. All you have to do is say the word. If you speak your word, my servant will be healed. I understand the authority of your word now. I understand the authority of your word. That if you speak your word, my servant will be healed. He says, because he looked at himself and he says, for I'm a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and they do it. He says, so if I'm a man that have people under authority and I can rule over them and they must obey me, I have so much confidence in your word that I have confidence that if you say a thing that you don't have to be there, your word is sufficient. That's why I said this is anointed, because understand, he has given us his word. He has given us his word, but he also says, when the Son of Man come, will he really find faith in all the land? So that we trust his word. We have confidence in his word. So when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed, I said to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel, not even among, this guy is not even among them, but even among the ones who the promise has been given. I've not found this kind of faith. He says, and those who were sent returning to their house found the servant well who had been sick. He got his healing because the Lord sent his word. You see, God's going to move us to that level, that his word is sufficient enough to do whatever he would have done. In James chapter 5, 13, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? That's why I said it's important, because we're being trained in order to see that kind of result. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. The prayer of faith, that's what we have to understand. What is the prayer of faith? Lord, help us to understand what the prayer of faith is. It will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And then it says, and if he has, it didn't say that he did, but if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Then it says, here it is, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So it's not based upon their faith as much as it is your faith. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Then he goes back to Elijah, who was a man of like nature, the same thing we read early on. Now, Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshiped him and saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her and she will live. Now, he said, my daughter just died, but if you show up and lay your hands, she'll live. So he is saying, now listen to his faith. He said, if you come lay your hands on her, my daughter will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had flow of blood. Now watch what happened. He's going to the daughter that just died, right? The daughter just died, and what they believed that if you lay your hands on her, she will live. Now, while that happened, suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched him in his garment. Now, he's on a mission. But here this woman has an issue of blood for 12 years, and she comes in, and she is saying that she come behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Now, he said, now one said, if he lay hands on that she shall live. But she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. So we see different expressions of faith, but yet the result being the same. So what happened? Her faith was, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. So what happened? But she did it. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that very hour. Now, you see, because she believed it, it manifested. And then when Jesus came into the ruler's house now, finally made it there, and saw the flutes playing and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, make room, because they're having a funeral. They're getting ready to have a funeral here. And he said, he heard the noisy flutes, heard the noisy crowd wailing and the flutes playing. That's how they lamented. He said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. She's not dead, she's just asleep. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. That's what we want to see, that kind of environment, so we can begin to see those results on a regular basis. You see, that's why all of these things are important and why we're teaching this, because God is desirous for us to enter into that. and it's available. It wasn't dispensational. It was only for those days. It's for us today. And I would say greater in this day than the other time. Now, the prayer of agreement. The prayer of agreement. Matthew chapter 18:18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. That's the prayer of agreement. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. Now, it ain't talk about touching and agreeing. It says agree as touching. Agree as touching anything. When we agree, our agreement touches the thing to produce the result. You see, it is our agreement. It is not just everybody touching. It is our agreement that touches the thing. So it doesn't mean we bring somebody here, everybody come lay hands on her because I want y'all all to touch and agree. No, it's a whole different scenario. But watch what it says here. If we gather together in his name, his purpose, according to God's intent, his presence manifests. That's what he's saying. We want the presence of God to be among us so that God shows up in waves of glory. His power is manifested among us. So that's why the prayer of agreement. And then understand, whatever you bind on earth, bound in heaven, anything you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. God will honor that agreement so that we'll begin to, you see, do we agree with God? Do we agree with God? And understand, if our agreement is with God, then it's easy for us to agree with one another if our purpose and intent is to obey him and to do his will. And then finally, there's the prayer of worship and thanksgiving and praise. And I'm just one scripture, Psalm 100. Let's stand and let's do that together because we're going to read that together. Psalm 100, the whole 100. Let's read it together. Make a joyful noise, shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving, singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Endureth through all generations. So in this, we are praying a prayer of gratitude. We're praying a prayer of gratitude, a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of rejoicing. Do you see this? Because the Lord's promises are yea and amen. We agree with him, and now we give thanks and we give praise and adoration that the Lord, he is God. He is still God today, 2016. He is still God. He is God, oh Lord, over our circumstances. He's Lord over our condition. Whatever those conditions are, he's Lord over those conditions. So we can thank him for ruling and reigning over all the affairs of our lives. So let's give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Thank you, Lord, for being the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise, oh God. We fill the house with praise. We fill the house. May your house be filled with your glory. Oh, how praise steal the enemy and the avenger. So, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we adore you. Lord, we give you the honor and the praise that you so richly deserve. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Now let's put to practice these prayers. Let's put into practice. Let's pray the prayer of intercession. Let's intercede now. Let's intercede on behalf of the lost. Let's intercede on behalf of those that are who physically are challenged. They have physical illnesses, mental illnesses, whatever the challenge is. We want to pray that prayer of intercession. Let's begin to pray. Let's intercede on their behalf. You stand between them and that condition. You stand before the Lord on their behalf now. Just begin to pray. If there are those here, but loved ones, let's begin to pray for loved ones. Let's begin to pray for people that we know, people that come to mind. And let's begin to intercede now. We stand for our sons and our daughters. We stand for our children. We stand for our sisters, our brothers. We stand for our families. We stand, oh God, on behalf. We stand, Lord, between the curse that will come upon them and, Lord, the graciousness and the glory that you have given us, oh God, that they might receive your blessings, that they may receive a blessing from you. Yes, Lord. Someone come and let's pray. Let's pray the prayer. Let's pray this prayer of intercession. Those that have intercession on your heart now, you feel that burden. If you sense a burden for our souls, I want you to come and let's pray this now.
Oh Lord God, we just cry out right now. Oh Lord God, we are desperate, Lord God. We're desperate for you, Lord. Oh Lord God, we cry out for the souls of the lost, Lord God. We cry out for those, Lord God, who are perplexed about even who you are, Lord God. Use us, Lord God, to reach out to those, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, you have assigned to each and every one of us, Lord God, souls, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, set our hearts in order, Lord God, so that we can do your will, Lord God. Lord, you will for us, Lord God, to be about your business, Lord God. Your word tells us that he who wins souls is wise, Lord God. Give us your wisdom, Lord God, to carry out your mandate, Lord God. May we understand that it's not about us any longer, but it's about others, Lord God. Use us for your purposes, Lord God. Let your will be done on the earth, Lord God, even as it is in heaven, Lord God. Use us, Lord. We cry out. We cry out before you, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to have your heart, Lord God. Give us your heart, Lord God, for the hurting, for the lost, for the dying, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, may we be emptied of ourselves, Lord God, and so filled with you, Lord God, that when they see us, they see you, Lord God. Help us. And Lord God, for those of us who are just resting on our laurels, Lord God, stir up the desire in us, Lord God, to be used by you, Lord God. Help us. We need you, Lord God. The world needs you, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, if there's any trace of apathy in us, Lord God, get rid of it, Lord God. We lay it at your feet right now, Lord God. Help us.
Someone, let's pray the prayer of binding and loosening, because we want the environment to be clear. We want to bind whatever we bind in earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let's pray the prayer of binding and loosening now. Someone, let's pray this. Let's pray the prayer of binding and loosening. Father God, we stand in the gap right now in the name of Jesus, declaring that your word is true, Lord God. And we declare in the name of Jesus Christ, every spirit that's contrary to your word, we bind it up in the name of Jesus. We come into agreement, Lord God, and together as a congregation, Lord God, we say, yes, we will press through, Lord God. We will press, Lord God, continually, Lord God, and asking, Lord God, that your presence, Lord God, will flow, Lord God, like rain, Lord God, that your peace, Lord God, will flow, your healing will flow, your understanding will flow, Lord God, your power will flow, Lord God, because, Lord God, we are partial, Lord God, to receive from you, Lord God. So, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that our understanding won't get in the way, that we don't rationalize you out of your will, Lord God. But Lord God, that we will stand, Lord God, and say yes to you, Lord God. We will stand and say yes, Lord God. We will go, Lord God. We will say yes, Lord God. We will no longer make excuses, Lord God. So Lord God, everything that tried to hinder us, every obstacle, Lord God, you said, Lord God, upon this rock, Lord God, you will build your church, Lord God. So Lord God, let this day, Lord God, be a day, Lord God, that your rock, Lord God, that we stand on your word, that we stand upon your truth, Lord God, and begin to see those things manifest, Lord God, as never before, Lord God, that it would be no hindrance, Lord, no blockages, no doubt or despair, Lord God, but just a liberty and a flow of your presence and your anointing, Lord God. You said it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by your spirit. So, Lord God, we loose your Holy Spirit into this place, into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives, into our family, into this church, into our mortal bodies, Lord God. We say, Lord God, have your way this day in Jesus' name. And we pray the prayer of Charles Mason, Bishop Mason. We bind the power of the enemy over the minds of people. Take the devil out of their minds in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose the minds, loose their hearts, loose their minds in Jesus' name. Right now, every spirit, every contrary spirit, every demon, Lord, we cast it out now in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind demons. We bind the power of the enemy, every fallen angel. Lord, we come against you now in the name of Jesus. We say, loose your people now. Loose the people of God. We pray for free course among the people, that they're not locked into habits, the habits that they cannot be broken. They're not in a place where their lives are being controlled by things that are beyond their control. But Lord, let the Holy Spirit come into each and every one. Lord, feel afresh those who have not who need a refreshing. Oh God, fill them, those that have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill with your Spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory for what you're doing, even in this house, oh God, as you fill your people with your Spirit afresh. Now may the Holy Spirit come down. May the Spirit come down upon us. Let it descend upon your people like never before. Fill, let some, Lord, receive healing. Let some receive the deliverances without hands being laid on them, because your power will be so great among us. Let it be such, oh God, that you will so descend upon this place that they will know, Lord, that it's you moving and that you're doing it. Your hand upon them, not just the hand of man, but your hand upon them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. We give you praise. 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 We give you praise.